Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Friday, June 14th. Have you ever had a hard time knowing what God wants you to do? Dr. Stanley's Life Principles series reminds us that knowing God's will in big things begins by obeying Him in the small things.
The will of God is one of the most important aspects of your life, and He is committed to showing you His will if you're willing to seek it. Now, sometimes it isn't easy to find. Sometimes it comes easy. Sometimes it's over a prolonged period of time as you and I begin to put the pieces together and we begin to see what the will of God is. Sometimes it's very unreasonable. And so what I want to talk about in this message is just that, the unreasonable will of God, because all of us have faced it and we will face it. Times when the Lord requires of us something that's totally unreasonable. We say, well, you know, that doesn't make sense. And so why should I do something till I can fully understand it? So I want you to turn to a passage of Scripture that beautifully illustrates this, and it's in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. So let's look to see what's happening here. What's happening is that Jesus is walking along, and so He begins to teach, and the crowd comes, and so He's standing on the edge. And what happens when you have a big crowd like that is that the people who are the furthest back, they want to see and they want to hear a little bit better. So without even intending to do it, little by little, they just, you know, people behind them feel Him. And the next thing you know, the crowd moves up closer and closer. Until finally, He's either standing in the water or close to it. And so He sees Peter here cleaning his nets. And so He just goes over and gets in Peter's boat, and He says, just push out a little way so I can be able to speak to all of them, because the acoustics are better if he's 50 feet out in the water or 25 or 30 feet. Then the breeze can take his sound of his voice everywhere, and everybody can hear him. So that's what happened. Now, here are these fishermen, and that's their life, and here comes Jesus now, and He makes a big request. And His request of Peter is something that was, from a fisherman's perspective, was very unreasonable. Because He said to Peter, after he'd been teaching for a while, He said, now, I want us to head out to the deep for a big catch. And I'm sure Peter must have said, what? So when Jesus said that, I'm sure Peter must have thought several things, one of which is, now look, I've been fishing all of my life. And I know, and all of us know, and all of my cohorts here know, that you fish in the Sea of Galilee at nighttime in shallow water, not in the middle of the day in deep water. It was absolutely, totally reversible. And not only that, He must have thought, He's an itinerant teacher, I'm the fisherman. And so it was not reasonable at all. And so Peter had to deal with that. But he dealt with it quickly. And when I look at this passage of Scripture and see what God has done in the life of Peter here, and all of the things he could have said and the things he could have done, then I think about what he said. He said, Master, I've been out there fishing all night long, dead tired, got nets to clean, and I'll go with you. The right answer to the will of God every time is, yes, I will do it. Now, isn't that simple? Listen, it's simple until we get to rationalizing and thinking, oh, but what about this? And what are they going to think? And what is he going to think? What is she going to think? What's going to happen here? Suppose I don't have enough of this. In other words, it's all about rationalizations. Listen, God's already thought about all those things that you're concerned about. All the things that you're hesitating about. Listen, He's already figured all that out. Listen, before He told you to do it, He had all the answers, all the solutions, and was ready to go to work the moment you say yes. Now, here's what I want you to see. Don't categorize yourself as a person that God doesn't care that much about. He loves you. He cares for you. Listen, you are a creation of God. There's nobody like you. He's got your name, and He hasn't got your name with somebody else's. You are a creation of God, created for the purpose of bringing Him glory and honor. And the way you do that the best and the most effectively is to walk in His will. That's the way He's planned it. Now, Peter could have said, not today, and look what he would have missed. And look what we're talking about. We're not talking about this big, huge plan. We're talking about doing what he did every day as just a habit of his life, getting out there in the evening, getting the nets together, going fishing, coming back in the morning, cleaning the nets, next day, same thing, day after day after day after. It was not a big deal, except on this day, watch this, there's some days that you're not on plan. There's some days that we're totally oblivious to what God's doing. There's some days that opportunities, issues arise, God wants to speak that can turn your life totally around in another direction. That's why every day is important, and that's why the will of God is important every single day in your life. And that's why it's so important that you and I seek the will of God. Somebody says, well, now how am I going to find the will of God about things? In other words, he's up there, I'm down here, and look at all these things we have to deal with. Well, first of all, you get in the Word of God and you start reading. Now watch this. He will bring some verse, and sometimes I look back and it's just like, here's a verse I've read many times, and I'm reading it this time, and wham, it's staring me right in the face. Thank you, Lord, I know exactly what you want me to do. If you want to find the will of God, you get in the Word and you just start reading. Lord, speak to my heart. I want to know the truth. I want to know what you want me to do. Secondly, you ask him about it. You say, well, how many times do I have to ask till you get the answer? Because listen, watch this. Sometimes, watch this carefully, we're not in a position to listen. We're so geared over here to do our thing, it takes us a while to sort of get over that so we can get over here where we can hear what he has to say. So sometimes we can hear it easy, quickly, sometimes not. And then oftentimes it's by godly counsel. You have to watch this. Not just what your friends think. You see, people who love you and want the best for you and love being with you and want your approval and so forth, they're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. That is not godly counsel. Godly counsel is a godly person objectively, based on the Word of God and prayerfully, saying to you, watch this. Not here's what you ought to do, but here's what God says about situations like this. Then you haven't told them what to do. You've said to them, here's what God says. Now you must make a decision. And oftentimes, that decision may come quickly. But listen, the reason knowing his will doesn't come quickly, it's because there are things over here God's working on, getting ready for you when you get here, and the decision has to be made. So if you make snap decisions, you're going to get in trouble. You say, yeah, but I got to know now. Let me ask you, watch this. If God already knows now, which he does, and he hasn't told you now, then you don't have to know now. Amen? You just remember that. If he already knows now, and he hadn't told you now, then you don't have to know now. You have to know whenever he's willing to show it to you. Now remember this. God does not operate, and I'm so grateful. God, there are no calendars in heaven. And no clocks, thank God. No clocks. So he's not checking out time and looking at the calendar. In other words, because he sees everything perfect at the same time. He knows exactly where you are. He knows what you're dealing with, and he knows exactly when to show you what his will is. Now, I can tell you how you can speed it up. Sometimes you can speed it up. Here's what speeds it up. You want to know what speeds it up? Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. When you can honestly say that to him, you speed it up sometimes. Now, sometimes, as I say, as he's setting the stage to show you, then the stage has to be set. But oftentimes, when you say, Lord, I want whatever you want. And I wish I knew how to express to you what I feel so absolutely clear in my own heart. When you are willing to do the will of God, and when you are committed to doing that, and you don't have these strings that you're still having to pull, and this and that and so forth, and what about this? In other words, when you've settled on it, just cut the strings, you've settled on that. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to be what he wants me to be. I'm going to walk where he wants me to walk. I'm going to follow his command no matter what. It's a settled issue. Do you know what happens? There is this awesome sense of indescribable peace and joy and contentment and no worry and no fretting. Why? Because what you're going to fret about? If you're committed to the will of God and you believe Him, whatever's going on, He's going to turn it for your good no matter what. Now, Peter could have said, look, you know, we only have so much, and we have to make every trip count, and we can't waste any time, this, that, and the other. God knew what was out there. And notice what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, let's go fishing. Now, that would have meant, let's go see if we can catch something. He said, let's go drop your nets for a catch. He didn't have a fish finder. They didn't have them in those days, of course. But Peter had a fish finder on his boat. Jesus knew exactly where they were. He didn't have to look at anything. And what was he doing? Was he just trying to fill up two boats full of fish? No. What he was doing is to fill the mind and heart of those men with a belief in him that would one day change their life forever. Obedience to God is the most awesome thing. And I've lived long enough to tell you, you can have peace and contentment and joy no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, no matter how bad things look at times, because God never changes. He's this awesome, loving Father. Does this mean the will of God's always easy? No. There have been times when doing the will of God for me was a very, very testy time. A very, very strong time. A very, very threatening time. I mean, all kind of things are going through my mind. And yet when I think about what God promises, and knowing in my heart, Lord, here's what you said. I'm going to do what you say no matter what happens. You cannot lose. You cannot fail. Now, notice what happened to Peter. Not only did he come up with a big boatload of fish, that was his reward for obeying the Father. That was a physical reward, but he had a spiritual reward. He saw Jesus as he was an itinerant preacher. Teaches what he was. And all of a sudden, because he obeyed the Lord's command, he began to see Jesus as he really was. And he fell on his face saying, I'm a sinful, vile man. I don't even deserve to be in your presence. I'm a sinful man. Move out, Lord. I don't deserve to be here. He got an awesome glimpse of the Lord. But something else happened. That day, his destiny for all of his life changed. Because that day, when Jesus spoke to him and he said, from now on, you're going to fish for men. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Fishing lost its appeal to him, though it had been his entire life. And he laid aside his nets and his boat and began to follow Jesus. Now, what I want you to see is this. He has the best plan for you. There are awesome, unexpected rewards to this best plan. Not only oftentimes is it profitable to you in lots of different ways, whether it's a job or money or whatever it might be, but what happens to you? You get a glimpse of Jesus, his trustworthiness, his willing to forgive you of your sins, his faithfulness, his loyalty, his devotion to you. You're one of his followers, his love for you, plus all the other things that come about. And then think about this. On one turn of the wheel, that is to speak, one decision, Peter's life changed totally. And he became a follower of Jesus, and God used him in the most awesome way at Pentecost, at one of the most pinnacle times in the New Testament. Who is the man that Jesus chose to bring forth that awesome sermon on Pentecost? Old Simon Peter. In fact, Simon Peter, history goes to say, probably not really historically, who knows, but it would sound like him. He was going to be crucified because of it being a follower of Jesus, and he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my master was. I want to be crucified upside down. I don't deserve the honor of being crucified. Here is this fisherman who obeyed God in what appeared to be an unreasonable situation. And look what God did for him. What will he do for you? Here's what he'll do for you. He will give you an understanding of himself you don't have at this point. He may be just waiting for you to surrender your life to him and give yourself to him so that what he has in store for you, you can begin your journey toward what he has in mind. You have no earthly idea what he has in mind. You don't want to miss that. And I ask you this question. Can you profit in any way by disobeying God? No, you cannot. His way is the best way. I don't know what you're facing in life. But let me ask you this. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Well, no, I haven't. I haven't had time. I don't think I need all that. Yes, you do. You see, what you're looking for in life, there's no substitute. You can't have enough money, prestige, prominence. You can't have enough of anything that life has to offer that will equal a personal relationship with Jesus Christ whereby you're forgiven of your sin. You have the Holy Spirit to come live on the inside of you. You'll have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that you need to live out your life with peace and joy and a sense of contentment and delight in your life, even through the difficult, trying hardships and sorrows and heartaches. There will be a sense of confidence, this stabilizing foundation in your life, unshakable, unchangeable, unalterable foundation of truth that will see you through whatever there is in life you have to face. Now, more than likely, before this week, coming week is over, you're going to be looking right at one of those decisions and thinking, Lord, what shall I do? This is why every sermon is important, and this is why this message is so important, for the simple reason, when you hit that decision, you have to make up your mind. Am I going to obey God or am I not? If you've taken some decent notes and you heard me say over and over and over again, obeying Him, it's always the best way to obey Him. Don't make a jump, quick decision. Seek His mind, His heart. He'll show you. And one thing for certain, you'll always say, thank God I did what He said. Obeying God is always the best idea. And remember this, partial obedience is disobedience. And He never expects us to understand, but to obey and leave all the things that seem to be unreasonable to Him. You cannot lose. And Father, how grateful we are. What awesome love we sense in Your Spirit toward us, Lord, when You're willing to do so much in our behalf to show us the right way in order that we might become true, genuine followers of Jesus Christ. We say we love You and we praise You, and we know that if we really mean that, we will obey You. For You said, if You love Me, You will obey Me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of The Unreasonable Will of God. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.